Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. And today we are going to be talking about aging and health. Our guest today says that aging isn't fundamentally about superficial appearance, but rather that appearance mirrors our underlying cellular maintenance as we age. So, we're going to learn about why that is so. Today's guest is Warren Cargill, and he is a licensed acupuncturist and herbalist and the clinic director at Acupuncture Atlanta. Warren is a practiced Chinese medicine. He has practiced Chinese medicine for over 20 years in the fields of infertility and chronic disease conditions. He maintains an active clinical practice in Atlanta, Georgia. And his interest is in integration of classical Chinese medicine with modern scientific study and evidence-based protocols. Well, that's a lot of lingo, but we're going to find out what all this is really about. And this is a topic I have not covered, so I'm anxious to learn. So let me introduce you to our special guest. Good morning, Warren.
Hi, Randy. I'm so happy to be here with you and share a little information about the mitochondria and aging.
Okay. And we are also talking about your book, Your Mitochondria, Key to Health and Longevity. So a lot of what we talk about today is in this book.
Correct.
So how did you get interested in, what sparked this interest in mitochondria?
So here's how it goes. I'm an acupuncturist, and here in the clinic we have six practitioners, and one of the things we treat a lot is fertility issues. And so one of the things a couple of years ago that we would notice in the clinic is we'd help a woman normalize her cycle, and she would get pregnant, but within the first 3 months the pregnancy would fail. So we started kind of looking at that in the clinic, and as you may know, in the first 3 months, it goes from that single cell zygote to millions of cells in a three-month period. So there's a tremendous amount of growth. What that's driven by is the mitochondria. So like in a female egg, there'll be like 100,000 mitochondria in there to drive this growth within the first 3 months. And if there's problems, then there's going to be problems in maintaining the pregnancy. So that's what first got me interested in looking at the mitochondria.
Okay. So what is the function of the mitochondria other than in, you know, the eggs and the cells of the unborn baby, the fetus?
Yeah. So fundamentally, the mitochondria supply all of the energy in your body, which is called ATP, adenosine triphosphate. And ATP is the energy currency of the body, so it drives all of the cellular functions. So most people, when they think about, you know, their what's happening in their body, they'll, you know, they get as far as thinking about the food that they're ingesting as being broken down to nutrients, but they don't think, you know, any farther than that about what's happening. But anything, any process that's going on in the body is driven by ATP, which is made by the mitochondria. So when I say, to give you an example of processes, if you think about your heart, which is beating 24 hours a day, each heart cell, which is called a cardiomyocyte, would have like anywhere from 5,000 to 8,000 mitochondria in there in each cell, supplying ATP to drive the pulse, you know, the expansion and contraction of the heart. Or another way to look at it would be like all of your thoughts, or all of your nerve impulses, all of those are being driven down the nerves by ATP produced by the mitochondria. So every function that is occurring in the body is a result of the ATP produced by the mitochondria.
Okay. So our bodies have changed over the years based on our environments and the food that we take in, the mm-hmm. water that we drink, all these different things. Has yep. the mitochondria in general been affected by these things?
Well, you'll appreciate this. So we're going to take a little journey right here. So let's go back on the Wayback Machine, and we'll
okay.
go back millions of years on the planet. And
okay.
millions of years on the planet, all there was existing was just single-celled organisms. And those organisms could only grow so big before they would be collapsed by the gravity on, you know, on the planet. And the issue was those organisms would get their nutrients or their food from nutrients in the water, and or that they would absorb other single-celled organisms. One day, something really amazing happened. An organism absorbed another organism. That organism said, hey, don't digest me. Let's make a deal. I'll supply the energy, and if you supply me the nutrients from the water. So that occurrence was the most fundamental occurrence in evolutionary history, because that allowed what's called specialization, cellular specialization, to occur, where then you could have, you know, you could have internal frameworks within the cells. Cells could become specialized, you know, some for digestion, some for hearts, some for livers, and so on. And that was like a remarkable event in our history, and it allows us to be here today. So your question, you know, about, well, hold on, let me just say this little piece. Those mitochondria are what's called symbiotes. In other words, it has their own DNA. Those symbiotes exist today in our cells. The mitochondria have their own DNA, and they're still, their essential function is, you know, you give me the nutrients and I'll produce the energy. So regarding if they've been impacted, I mean, you know, by the environment or whatever, I mean, really fundamentally what they're impacted by is our lifestyle.
Okay.
And, there are like four things that you can fundamentally do to help them.
Okay. And I'm sure we'll get deeper into it, but what are those four things?
Okay. So is this level of conversation good? I mean, it's not too technical
excellent.
Or anything?
It's
okay,
excellent.
I just want. Okay, so So here are the four things, and these are like, you know, once your audience hears those, you know, they can take off as soon as this podcast is over and start using them in their life.
Okay.
But the issue is a mitochondria require certain things, and one of the things they require is oxygen. So, and they're kind of like internal combustion machines. In order to make the ATP, they require oxygen. So at that level right now, for example, I'm sitting at my desk, you know, talking to you. And generally when you're sitting at your desk, and basically if you're sitting at your desk in a job environment, what you're doing is shallow breathing. So you're only using the upper third of your lungs. And what that drives is what's called hypoxia, which is low oxygen content. And that has a profound negative effect on the mitochondria, and it starts producing inflammatory processes. Creates like reactive oxygen species, which, you know, begin to punch holes in the mitochondria and affect the mitochondria's DNA. So breathing is really important. And, you know, like if you are, you know, if you do sit at a desk all day and stuff like that, then, you know, the simple thing is just to get up, walk around, maybe jump around a little bit, take some deep breaths, and just make sure you're mindful of that, because the breath is just fundamental. So that's number one. Number two would be mild exercise. Notice I didn't say strenuous exercise or anything like that, because that's fine if you're doing it. But, you know, if you're not doing it, then the important point is beginning to exercise. And beginning to exercise can look like, you know, walking for 20 minutes a day, or, you know, riding your bike, something simple that you can begin to do, which drives biogenesis, which is, you know, begins to make new mitochondria in the body. And then it also, and we'll come to this part too, but because of our nutrient content that we're ingesting these days, a lot of it isn't being used, and it just kind of resides in the mitochondria's excessive nutrients, which again have a detrimental effect of inflammatory, you know, of starting inflammatory processes. So that's the second thing, is mild exercise. The third thing, it's kind of a combination here, but the mitochondria make their energy from, they can either use sugars, carbohydrates, or fats. So, for example, for every unit of sugar that the mitochondria ingest, you're going to get 2 units of ATP out of it. However, for every unit of fats the mitochondria ingest, you're going to get like 32 units of ATP out. So, I hope your listeners hear that, because that's just like a phenomenal increase in energy. And if the issue is that you're looking for increased energy and vitality, then that really is kind of a marker of how you should begin to think about your eating. And when I'm talking about fats, I'm talking about, like, you know, good quality fats. I'm talking about, you know, avocados, olive oil, coconut oil, fats from fish, even fats from red meat. I mean, it's okay. It just needs to be good quality fats. Fats from butters are okay, good quality butters. So that's a primary understanding that needs to be imparted there, that, you know, just how much more energy you get. The final thing, which is kind of a component of the eating, is that we look at caloric restriction. And that means if you're eating like 2,600 calories a day, you know, you would consider moving that down to 2,200 or 21 calories, a small reduction. But the issue is because of our lifestyles, there's excessive caloric intake occurring, which, as I've already indicated, has a negative effect on the performance and the longevity, and drives inflammatory disease conditions of the mitochondria. Those are the four things.
Okay. And, you know, and I know people just freak out when they hear that they're supposed to eat more fat. But actually, my son is a resident doctor, surgeon, and he recently called me, and he's like, Mom, I just watched this documentary that talks about how we need to add good fats to our diet. He's like, and so, you know, he was explaining all this to me. So this isn't a new concept to me, but it is something that I know people will find shocking and scary, because we as a society have been taught to fear fat.
That's right.
Right?
Yep. Yep, because of the trans fatty acids and things like that, which definitely, you know, have a negative effect on us. But, you know, what I'm trying to underscore is good quality fats are good for you. They've always been good for you.
Right. And our generations before us, that's what they used. I mean, it was all natural fats and things like that. We may potentially have a caller here. Sometimes people call the number and they just want to listen. But would you like me to take this call real quick?
Sure. Let's see what they have to say.
Okay. Let's see if this caller has a question. Good morning. Did you
Hi.
Have a question? Hi.
I mean, I was like, I missed the first thing. Was the first thing deep breathing?
Yes. Well, not deep breathing. I'm not suggesting, you know, like big deep breathings. I'm just suggesting that, you know, that you take the breath all the way fully into your lungs.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. I'm going to put you back on hold so you can continue to listen. Thanks. Okay. So those are the four things, and you explain that well. And you know, and when we're relaxed breathing and we're not shallow breathing, our stomach will rise and fall, you know, and that's something we don't do when we're shallow breathing. So that's important, isn't it, to breathe and make sure the stomach rises and falls, and then you know you're getting a nice breath in.
Right. I mean, I think that if you consider it, like when you're working at your desk, there's a little unusual thing that happens within the body around the sternum area, which is, you know, like right, you know, the sternum would be like between your two nipples, right in the center of the chest there. And there's a place where it kind of sinks in a little bit when we're working at our desk, we're working at our computer. And so, as you can imagine, because of that sinking, what it's doing is restricting the full volume of the lungs where you can't breathe deeply. So even just being mindful of that and just setting up straight allows you to, I just took a deep breath myself, allows you to take a deep breath.
Right. Right. So it's just, it's really awareness of, you know, of what we're doing. That's such a simple thing that if we can just keep reminding ourselves, put a little note up at your computer that says breathe. Right. Okay.
I saw this amazing little YouTube video yesterday, which I commented on and said was great, but it had all these people in this big office space, you know, with like all these cubicles, and at 11 o'clock, they all stand up and they start jumping around and they play all this music for like 10 minutes, you know, and then they all sit back down again.
That's awesome. Wow.
I thought so.
What a healthy office. That's amazing. That's really wonderful that they do that. okay, so how does this, obviously it affects our aging process, but how does it affect our aging process? And what can we do to live longer and live healthier lives?
Yeah, those are good questions. So let's just take the heart, since the heart is such a primary, you know, vehicle for our aging and our longevity. So the first thing is just consider what's so I've already indicated like that the mitochondria in a heart muscle can have anywhere from like 5,000 to 8,000 mitochondria in it, right? And, you know, and that's driving per cell, per heart cell, and that's driving this continual beating and contraction, expansion and contraction of the heart. So, and I've already laid down the framework that, you know, mitochondria needs oxygen. So what happens when we're sitting at our desk all day and we're creating a hypoxic environment? So we're, you know, we're putting the heart under a tremendous amount of stress there. And the other thing is that occurs here with the heart specifically is if people are on statins, one of the things that's come out of research lately is that if you're on a statin, it's going to deplete the CoQ10. And CoQ10 is it's just a fundamental nutrient needed by the mitochondria and several other, you know, functions going on within the body. But essentially, within the mitochondria, CoQ10 is used to step the ATP up to a higher concentration of energy. So back to the discussion about the heart. So if you're on a statin, you're depleting the CoQ10. And CoQ10 is kind of a slow process in the body to make it. So the CoQ10 is being depleted, so that further exacerbates, you know, the heart's functionality. And then the final thing to keep in mind here is I gave you the indications of the preferred energy sources, and, you know, whether it's sugars or fats. So the issue with the sugars is it creates a lot of the reactive oxygen species, which are like, you know, highly reactive oxygen molecules, which, you know, have the ability to kind of like burn little holes in the mitochondria or damage the DNA within the mitochondria. So so the scenario would be that you're sitting at your desk, you're breathing shallowly, you're not getting a lot of oxygen, your CoQ10 is being depleted, and you're kind of munching on like sugars and things like that as you're doing your work to kind of boost your energy, right? Where do you think that ends us up here with your heart?
Not a good thing. It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
You're hurting your heart.
Thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, that situation, you know, what I've described, you know, I mean, it happens in so many variations in our life that, you know, people have to be really conscious of that kind of stuff. So the heart muscle is, you know, one thing, and let me just extend that to, you know, so we're using the example of sitting at your desk, but the other issue with sitting at your desk is when you're sitting at your desk, it tilts your pelvis a little bit, and tilting the pelvis causes the leg muscles, the hamstrings, to tighten up. So where we're going with this example is specifically looking at what's happening with your joints and your knees. So the knee joints are already existing in a kind of hypoxic environment, a low oxygen environment, the mitochondria in there, because it's, you know, farther away from the heart, right? So, but then here we have a situation where we're sitting, and then because of the tilt of our pelvis, the muscles get tightened, you know, going into the knees and everything, and then that further restricts oxygen and nutrients being delivered to the mitochondria in the knees. So over time, what begins to happen is you notice you're having knee pain, and your knees aren't as flexible. And does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I know that because I do a lot of writing, and so mm-hmm. I'm at my desk a lot. But
yep.
And I go to a chiropractor every month, and my hips are always off. He always says, "Have you been sitting a lot?"
No.
He can tell immediately. you're absolutely right. I get it. So,
yeah.
How does acupuncture relate to the mitochondria, or doesn't it?
Well, I mean, so here's the story with the acupuncture, I mean, the Chinese herbs and the mitochondria. So, I mean, and so, you know, I told you that the mitochondria have their own DNA, right? So, and they're symbiotes living in this system. But the Yellow Emperor's book, the Su Wing, which was written like 2,500 years ago. It's a treatise on acupuncture by this emperor who wanted to live forever, and he was trying to figure it out. But anyway, one of the statements which has always kind of puzzled people is that they said that the offspring, I mean, that the offspring, that the woman, the children of the woman inherit the greater majority of essence from the woman, from the mother. And so just let me just say that a little clearer. So any children, I mean, the mother passes most of the essence over to the child. And that was always kind of a confusing thing because genetically, you know, what we've always been told is, you know, you get 50% from the father and you get 50% from the mother, right?
Okay.
As far as the genes are concerned. Well,
right.
Once I got into exploring this, it turns out that the mitochondria are solely passed on to the offspring through the mother.
Really?
So all your children, whether male or female, they all have the mother's mitochondria.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? And it gets even more amazing. Like they've been able genetically now to start looking back, and they, you know, they can go back like 50,000 years, and there was like a genetic, what they're calling mitochondria Eve, like when they do research about this, you know, the first woman. But, you know, of course, she wasn't the first woman, but, you know, she was first group in this genetic makeup, the first woman in that. So the mitochondria solely passed through the mother to their offspring. And, you know, that's pretty phenomenal. And that kind of explained, well, like, you know, the question then was like, well, how did these guys know that 2,500 years ago? I mean, how could they speculate on that? So, you know, this is, in Chinese medicine, this is the concept of essence, or jing is the Chinese term, but essence that gets passed on, you know, from generation to generation. And,
wow.
You know,
so that's some encouragement. I mean, women should, any woman that is anticipating having children, should
mm-hmm.
really boost up their mitochondria so that they
yeah.
pass on healthy cells to their children.
Right.
An important point.
So the first part of our conversation was about the, you know, how I got into this with the looking at the female egg.
Right.
So just to bring it back in perspective, the female egg, so I told you how many mitochondria are in the heart cell. Well, like the female egg, like has 100,000 mitochondria in it, producing energy, and it's just like, you know, it's like all hell the queen. I mean, this is the queen. She's passing on her essence to the, you know, the offspring. And
wow.
So, like your statement is that, you know, whatever, you know, if a woman is considering getting pregnant, you really want to, you know, pay attention to your mitochondria.
Wow, this is so important. And so little talked about, you know. This is really interesting. I knew it was
it
going
is.
To be.
Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, it's like a fundamental place of our health here. It's like that, I mean, it's just such a fundamental place of our health and, you know, how we, you know, something this surprisingly hasn't been discussed very much.
So, if we work on these four things, the breathing
mm-hmm.
and the mild exercise, the fat intake, and the and watching our caloric intake.
Mm-hmm. Reducing.
If it's high, yes, if it's high,
yeah.
Then those things should help us to build strong mitochondria.
That's correct.
But are there supplements? Are there vitamins? Are there natural things that we can take that will help boost that?
Yeah. So here's the story on that. So, in addition to dealing with fertility issues here, we also deal with, you know, age-related issues here, like cardiovascular disease or diabetes or neurodegeneration, those kind of issues, or cancer sometimes. So, and the question, well, let's just take fertility, for example. When we get a woman who's, you know, 38 or 39 here, I mean, she's under quite a bit of pressure because of the age, and she wants to get pregnant and stuff like that, right? And so So here's the downside of it. When I talk about mitochondria, a lot of people don't understand this, but at birth, a female will have like a million eggs. And once she hits puberty, you know, those eggs, there's little cohort groups that are called into action and they start, you know, ovulating. But that ovulation process takes 1 year. So these immature eggs are called into process, and then it takes 1 year for them to mature, and it's only in the last 30 days that they come under influence of the steroidal hormones.
Okay.
So the meaning of that is when I have someone who comes into the office who's under a lot of pressure, and I say, look, you know, really, it's going to take you a year to get your mitochondria into shape. That's not going to go over very well with her. In fact, she will probably leave, you know. So I mean, and we are really understanding about that. And so, you know, what that meant was that we had to come up with some intermediate protocols that we could help, you know, help someone restore the mitochondria. So we have supplements and herbs that we will suggest if someone's in, you know, in that kind of situation. And the same can be said if someone's had a heart attack and they're having, you know, like they're feeling exercise fatigue after their stroke, or they're, you know, having difficulty. I mean, we have protocols that we use, nutritional protocols that we have that we will use to help them, to help restore, you know, what they're feeling. I mean, what their exercise ability and their strength and their cognitive function.
And so it's best to have someone customize the supplements to what you need, or are there certain things that we all can take to help us? Because there's a couple of things in here. You have alpha-lipoic acid.
Alpha-lipoic acid, yep.
These are natural stuff. L-carnitine, coenzyme Q10. Those are actually the three, I think, that you list in your book. What is alpha-lipoic acid for? What does that do?
Well, I mean, it's going to help the mitochondria again I didn't mention this because I don't want to get too technical, but there's the mitochondria, you know, look like little worms. They're called they're like organelles, which means small bodies within the cell. So they look like little bitty worms, and if you were to open up one of them, you know, all you'd see is all these little baffles inside. And so the baffles kind of help you, and the baffles act like dams, and those dams, what they do is allow an energy gradient to be built up, a higher and higher charge of this ATP to be built up and then released into the cell. Does that sound clear?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so the alpha-lipoic acid is specifically, you know, to kind of help in the baffling of the, it's an antioxidant. And it, you know, helps, you know, we talked about blood sugars or the, you know, eating sugar. So it helps, you know, improve the glucose control and improve insulin sensitivity. So that's how we would use that. But, specific to your question, let me just give you the four nutrients. If you're concerned about aging or if you're having some of the age-related diseases occurring in your life right now, these are the four things that you would want to take. And the first one is L-carnitine. And L-carnitine specifically helps transport fats into the mitochondria. That's what we use it for. And then the second thing would be D-ribose. So let me explain how that one works. So D-ribose is a 5-carbon sugar, and it's kind of like used at the end process of the ATP creation. But the problem, going back, using the heart as an example, for people who have had strokes, you know, where they lose blood supply into the heart. So once blood is reintroduced back into the heart, that's called reperfusion. And the problem with reperfusion, and cardiologists have known this for a while, it kills a lot of the mitochondria. And the reason is because the creation of D-ribose is a separate process, but it's a very slow process. And so here you reintroduce the blood back into the heart. It's all oxygenated. It has nutrients in it. The heart's ready to go, but there's no D-ribose. So it kills the mitochondria. So now what they've started doing is introducing, they'll give an infusion before they do the reperfusion of D-ribose specifically. And they've been able to totally, you know, minimize the loss of the mitochondria in the heart. So mitochondria don't get replaced when they're damaged or when they die in the heart. The only thing that happens is you get scar tissue. So, you know, for longevity, for health, you want to keep those mitochondria intact. So D-ribose, if there's any kind of issues going on, past issues with cardiovascular issues, past issues with neurodegeneration, D-ribose is really important.
Okay.
So the third thing, as I've already mentioned, is CoQ10. And if you're on any kind of – so as we age, CoQ10 begins to decline, but CoQ10 is fundamental to the third process in the mitochondria. And then if you're on any kind of statins, that's being depleted by them. The CoQ10 is being depleted, right?
Okay.
The final thing would be magnesium. We use something like a magnesium glycinate. But the issue with magnesium, I mean, it doesn't specifically help the mitochondria, but what it does is like, so I've said that the mitochondria are used fundamentally in every process in the body. So like processes, you know, like moving your muscle, contracting your muscle requires the mitochondria. Releasing your muscle requires magnesium. So a lot of people are deficient in magnesium, and you want to, you know, help that to relax the muscles.
Okay. Still there?
Those are the four items.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay. I was afraid I lost you. Okay. and that's really, that's really good information because, I know people are now interested in, you know, taking the right supplements, and we go to the pharmacy or Whole Foods or wherever we go, and we stand there, and it's like, well, this is all supposed to make us healthy, but what do I do? And
right.
It really helps to understand why we need or why we could benefit from, I should say, taking these four things. And I myself had wondered about the CoQ10. I know it's supposed to be a good thing, but I didn't know what it does.
Why?
So that's,
yeah, why
that's
is
great.
It a good thing? Yeah. Yeah,
right.
so the fundamental question here that, you know, comes up over and over again is like when you look at this is a fundamental protocol because we're dealing at a fundamental substrate of the body, the mitochondria, the energy production. But the question here is like, how do you want to live your life? You know, I mean, do you want to, I mean, like, you know, I think what we all fear is having a long life, but in the last 10 or 15 years, we have cognitive decline, we have heart failure, we end up in a nursing home. You know, what I'm suggesting here is a fundamentally different approach of looking at how you want to have a long, healthy life.
Right, and it's so basic. That's what's amazing about this. It's really not, there's nothing complicated about this. I mean, yeah, the understanding of the chemistry and all, and the way the body works and things like that can be complicated. But basically, what we need to know is not complicated, and that's what's so awesome about this. So in the last minutes we have, can you just tell us a little bit about your book, Your Mitochondria, Key to Health and Longevity, and where we can get it?
Well, so the book, I have a website, themitobook.com, So the book is on there, and there's also a little free download if you want some more information about the book. And there's a place that if you want to contact me and ask questions, please do. I like questions, and I try to answer all of them. And then of course, the book is on Amazon. If you want to purchase it there, you can do that also.
Okay. And I've put up on your show page the name of the book. So for those who are listening, if you just go to the show page, I wrote out the name of the book, so you can go there and check out Warren Cargill's website. And that was, what did you say, your mito? Is that what you said?
No, the T-H-E, the
mito
book. TheMitoBook.com is the website.
Perfect. TheMitoBook.com. Okay, great. See, I forget very quickly. Maybe if I do all these things.
We didn't talk about memory, did we? We didn't talk about memory and cognition here. But those are in the book also. There's a whole chapter on memory.
Yeah, actually, I could benefit from that. So anyway, it's been a lot of fun. Is there anything that you wanted to share quickly in the last minute that we have?
I really encourage your audience to take care of yourself. These are simple things, you know. I mean, resist that temptation to put it off and do it.
Okay. All right. That's it. That's it. Just do it. Stop playing around and messing up your life and just do it. All right. Well, let's leave it on that. I appreciate having you as my guest. It's been really fun and very educational. So thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you, Randy. It was really good talking with you.
Yeah, it was great talking with you, too. So, goodbye. Have a great day.
Okay.
We are out of time, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll listen next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.